Mack Hammond Ministries presents the teaching ministry of Lynn Hammond.
Well, teaching on the purpose and the scope of tongues. Now, if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, I didn't bring my King James and some of these scriptures here. I like them lots better in the King James than like the way the Amplified reads. But if you'll notice in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and verse 1 here, begins talking about spiritual gifting. It says now concerning spirituals or things to or pertaining to the Spirit of God. And then he begins to tell you of things pertaining to and of the Spirit of God. And he begins down in verse 10, earlier than that, verse 8, to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, or we could say the manifestations of the Spirit. And in verse 10, you will see that he says, to one the word of wisdom, then another the word of knowledge. And down we get to 10, it says, to another the working of miracles, and to another the gift of prophecy. And then it says, to another divers kinds of tongues is what it says in the King James Version. Now, the word divers is italicized. And anytime we see in the original that a word is italicized, that means it was not in the original translation. The original reads this way, to another kinds of tongues. Paul said, speaks in another place of diversities of tongues, or we could say there are different kinds of tongues. All right? Now, the definition of different kinds of tongues, or we could say diverse kinds of tongues, is this. Diverse kinds of tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in languages never learned by the hearer, not understood by the mind of the speaker, nor necessarily understood by the hearer. Speaking with tongues has nothing to do whatever with linguistic language. It has nothing to do with the mind and intellect of man. It is a vocal miracle. Speaking in other tongues is a vocal miracle. If we went back to Mark, the 16th chapter, and I'll read you what the Lord Jesus Christ said about speaking in tongues. And notice he said, these signs shall accompany those who believe. How many believers do we have? This is a believer service on Wednesday night. How many believers do we have? Well, you are to have certain signs accompanying you if you are a believer. It says, in my name shall they drive out devils, and they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and even if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. So we can see that every one of these signs right here is a supernatural sign. So is speaking in other tongues. If we turned over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, very familiar verses there for you, we would say, see this. It says there, although I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, talking about tongues, although I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, it says there. So we can see that tongues has a very wide scope. Very wide. If we looked in Acts, the second chapter, let's just go over to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and see when tongues, in Acts chapter 2. Now I'm going to be giving you a lot of scripture tonight. Acts chapter 2. It says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, in verse 1, they were all assembled together in one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a mighty wind, and there appeared unto them tongues of fire. And the Amplified is kind of different. It says, they were separated and distributed and settled down on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. And we can see that the Spirit gave each one utterance, because if you look over in verse 11, it said there were Cretans and Arabians too, who all heard them speaking in their own native tongue and telling of the mighty works of God. So each one of these men heard from their native tongue, these people speaking in tongues, they heard tongues of men. Isn't that amazing? They heard them speaking in tongues of men and magnifying. Now, these men did not know that language. They had no intellectual knowledge or no knowledge in their mind of that, but the Spirit began to speak that way. I know that the revival in Topeka, Kansas, that is really responsible for the Pentecostal movement in America. It was in 1900, a man by the name of Charles Parham. Many of you may have heard his name before. And we know that he got a little house and had started a Bible school. And they started with, just a few people that were all joined together to seek God for the baptism in the Holy Ghost, specifically for the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And on January the 1st, right after midnight in 1901, a woman by the name of Agnes Osman was her name, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues. And they say that she spoke in Chinese for 3 days and three nights. Perfect Chinese, that she even wrote in Chinese. And they had a linguist, you know, one of those translator people come and read it to see what she had written, and it was perfect Chinese. Isn't that something? I know one time here we had a service, ordination service, for Manny and Sonia Gutierrez, you know, our missionaries to Peru. And I don't know Spanish. I know a couple of things. Hasta luego. But I don't know what that means. I hope it's not something bad. I know that. I think that's about the only word I know in Spanish. But during the time they came forward and we began to pray for them and separate them to the ministry. And as we did, I began to pray in tongues. And Manny and Sonia said, I spoke perfect Spanish for about 5 minutes. And just showed them a lot of things that they would be doing that I didn't even know was happening. See, that would be the tongues of men. I don't know so much about the tongues of angels, but if the Bible says there's tongues of angels, there is definitely tongues of angels. I know my Bible teacher in Jackson, Mississippi, she and her husband went over there for a full gospel businessmen's meeting. And this was the little girl that taught us the word. After Mac and I got saved, she and her husband, and I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then Mac was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they led him in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so we started going to that Bible study, and you know the story, you've heard us tell it before, that Mac, you know, he was the only man in the Bible study. It was about 60 ladies and Mac on Mondays. You know, he'd take off from work to go to that Bible study. Well, anyway, Sarah and Buddy Gibson, she was our Bible teacher, and they were over at a full gospel businessmen's meeting in Jackson, Mississippi. And during the lunch break, they decided they'd go on the streets and witness. And so they were witnessing the gospel to a man, and about halfway through, the guy was just about ready to receive Jesus, and his friend walked up, and he was a foreign-looking man, and he started mocking, and he started saying, Jesus, who is Jesus? And then this man that they were trying to lead to the Lord, he started to draw back away from the things of God. And so the Lord spoke to Sarah and said, pray in tongues loudly. And so she began to pray in tongues. And when she did, he hit the pavement, bowed down on the pavement, and started crying. And whatever, wherever he was from, she had spoken that language to him in his own dialect and had convicted him of whatever he was doing. And he came to God. Isn't that amazing? So we can see from just these little things, and we could go to other scriptures also, and see that these things are supernatural. Tongues, speaking in other tongues, is supernatural. It is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are other evidences we know of the baptism, but tongues is the initial evidence. I know someone said one time, said, well, you know, John the Baptist, He was full of the Holy Ghost and he didn't speak with other tongues. And then I've heard other people say, well, you know, the prophets in the Old Testament, they said that they had the Holy Ghost. But you see, we are not living under the old covenant. We're not living in the time that John the Baptist lived in. We're not living under that covenant. We want to have the Holy Ghost according to the dispensation that we are living in now. And so if we're going to do that, we have to go back and look in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We go back not under the old covenant, but under the new, under the early church, and look and see the practices of the early church, and we are to copy them. Now, if we went over and we studied further in the Acts of the Apostles, we would find that there are five recorded instances of the people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so if we looked at those, we'll just look at those right quickly, just for those that don't know and those that are sitting here tonight and don't know whether they want tongues or not. You'll decide tonight that you do, because it is a free gift from God, and he's wanting all. Jesus said, remember, these signs shall follow them that believe. All right. Well, we know that the first example of tongues was given over in Acts, the second chapter, and we've already read that one about how they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The second instance occurred 10 years later. We'll look at it in Acts, the 10th chapter. We know that Peter had gone down to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius is all excited about him coming, you know. He's gotten all his family and all his friends together so that Peter can preach to them. Because an angel had come to Cornelius and told him to call for Peter and send men down to Joppa to get him. And so we can see he begins to preach to the people. And it says in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, Acts 10, 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. And the believers from among the circumcised who came with Peter were surprised and amazed, because the free gift, everybody say gift.
Yes.
The gift of the Holy Spirit had been bestowed and poured out largely even on these Gentiles. For how did they know the Spirit had been poured out on them? How did they know they'd received the baptism in the Holy Ghost? For they heard them talking in other tongues and extolling and magnifying God. So we can see here from the scriptures that was the initial evidence. That's how the other disciples knew that they had received the Holy Ghost, is that they began to speak in tongues. All right, the third instance. Now we've seen Acts, the second chapter, where they spoke in tongues. Acts, the 10th chapter. Now we're going to go to the 19th chapter, where Paul goes down to Ephesus. This will take care of the one that says, well, when you get born again, you get the Holy Ghost. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This one will take care of that and tell you that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is subsequent to salvation. All right, we see that Paul goes down to Ephesus, verse 2, and he asks the disciples there, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? That's what they said. There were believers. Said, did you receive the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, why, no. We never even heard there was a Holy Spirit. They didn't even know about it. And so in verse 6 it says, and Paul laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. They spoke in other tongues and they prophesied when Paul laid his hands upon them. And so we can see that was evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now this incident was 20 years after Acts chapter 2. Cornelius was about 10 years. Now another one we'll look at is in Acts the 9th chapter. And we'll know this one is about Saul or Paul. Remember that he was traveling on the road to Damascus, bringing out threatenings, and he was murdering disciples. And he was traveling on that road to Damascus, and suddenly it said from the Bible that a light came from heaven, flashed all around him, and he fell on the ground. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? When it was Jesus speaking to him. So after he had this experience with the Lord, he went on down to Damascus and stayed at Judas's house on a street called Straight. Well, in the meantime, the Lord began speaking to a disciple, a young man there by the name of Ananias, a disciple there in Damascus. And the Lord told him, he said, go down and visit Saul, for he is there praying. And we see what it says in verse 17. So Ananias left and went into the house, and he laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, verse 17, who appeared to you along the way by which you came here, has sent me that you may recover your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see two things from here. We see that Paul, two reasons that Ananias laid hands upon him, that he might receive his sight. You see, he was filled with the glory. The glory had blinded him. It wasn't that he had a bad thing. The glory was on him, and the glory had blinded him. And Ananias laid hands on him to release him from that. All right? It said, for you to receive your sight and to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, you see, it doesn't say right here that he spoke with other tongues, but we know that he did. Because in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 18th verse, it said, and Paul said this, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So we see that Paul also spoke in tongues. Now here's another one. Just turn back one chapter to Acts chapter 8. And we see Philip going down to the people at Samaria. We'll begin reading at verse 5. Philip, not the apostle, went down to the city of Samaria. Acts chapter 8, I hear pages turning. Verse 5, and proclaimed the Messiah to them, to the people. And great crowds of people with one accord listened to and heeded what was said by Philip as they heard him and watched the miracles and wonders which he kept from performing from time to time. For foul spirits came out of many who were possessed by them, screaming and shouting with a loud voice. And many who were suffering from palsy or were crippled were restored to health. And there was great rejoicing in the city. So we see that numbers of people were born again under Philip's ministry, the evangelist. But notice in verse 14 what it said. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted and welcomed the word of God. In other words, they had gotten born again. They called Peter and John to them, and they came down and prayed for them that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit. So we can see here once again that salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost are not the same experience. They're two separate experiences. And then it says, and then the apostles laid their hands on them one by one, and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay, Peter and John laid hands on them. Now, there was a man in the crowd whose name was Simon, and he was a sorcerer. And he had bad motives, and he had a bad attitude. And he saw that the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out. And he wanted it. He had ulterior motives. He wanted that because he was going to get money to give that gift. And so he asked the apostles about that. And they rebuked him strongly. But what I want you to see, it doesn't say right here that the Samaritans spoke with other tongues. It doesn't say that. Any commentary that you read, I don't care what Young's, any commentary that you will read on the Word of God, on the book of Acts, will tell you that the Samaritans spoke in tongues. Anyone will tell you that. But I believe the proof of their speaking is in other tongues is found in verses 18 and verses 20 and 21. However, when Simon saw, notice that word, Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was imparted unto them. Now notice, he saw that. What did Simon see? You can't see the Holy Ghost because he's a spirit. So what did they see? Well, in verse 21, it said, he's speaking to Simon here. Peter turns around to Simon and he says, you have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is all wrong in God's sight. See, he's asking for this gift. Now, this word matter, you have neither part nor lot in this matter, is the same Greek word as the word utterance in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, where it said, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This word matter is that same word, utterance. All right? Therefore, what he really said here is, you have no lot or part in this utterance. Okay? So we have five examples here of when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And remember that we're speaking on the scope and the purpose of tongues. All right? This little series here on tongues will be the scope and the purpose. Well, see, therefore, one of the greatest purposes of tongues today is that it is the initial evidence that a person has received the Holy Ghost. Now, of course, there are other evidences in your life. You know, we could go to Acts chapter 1 and read and different places in the Bible and find there are other evidences that you have received the Holy Ghost. But this is the initial evidence, speaking in other tongues. And talking about tongues, I will say this. Tongues, speaking in other tongues, is primarily a devotional gift given to believers. It is a devotional gift. I believe that's what Paul meant when he said, "I thank my God, I speak with other tongues more than you all." I believe he was telling them that the church there at Ephesus, I believe he was telling them that it was going to help their prayer life and help their worship life. That's what tongues was meant to do. If you turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll see here, this is where people get mixed up where tongues is concerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is people take this scripture out of context. Verse 28, it says, "God has appointed some in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, wonder workers, those ability to heal the sick, and administrators, speakers in different and unknown tongues." And then it says, "Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all," and then it goes on to say, "do all speak with tongues?" And so a lot of people, evangelical people that try and get away from that, will use the scripture and say, it says, aha, there you go. It says, "Don't all people don't speak with tongues." But you see, what he's speaking about here is, you notice in context, he's talking about ministry. He's talking about tongues where public ministry is concerned. See, being an apostle is a public ministry. It's for service to people, all right? It's for public ministry. Being a prophet is public ministry. He's talking here about being endowed by the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues, and interpretation would be like in a service or to help other believers. He's not talking about the devotional gift. Okay? He's talking about, and it's very true. All people don't have that. Because the manifestations of the Spirit are given as the Spirit wills, not everybody has that gift of tongues and of interpreting tongues and interpretation. Not everybody has that. But everybody can have the devotional gift of tongues is given to believers, all believers who want it and will extend an arm to receive that from the Lord. You receive that gift of the Holy Spirit from Him. Okay, so we can see that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, I believe, in my own personal life, I would say, That every now and then, occasionally, I will operate in public, in a service, in tongues and interpretation. If you've been here any length of time, you've seen that operate. But for me, and where my prayer life, we're talking about prayer, where my prayer life is concerned, I remember before I got the baptism, how I longed for fellowship with God from my heart. You see, I was wanting supernatural fellowship with the Lord. And I prayed, but, you know, my spirit felt cheated. I don't know how to say it except to say it that way. My spirit felt cheated, and it was like my spirit couldn't say what I wanted to say. I do, you know, most of my praying was out of my head. And I was just not in the way, you know, to speak supernaturally to God. And one of the greatest benefits in my life was I had sought God and I had sought Him. And down on the end, you know, the Bible says the deep in you calls for deep. The deep in you will call for deep. The deep in me was calling for that gifting, was calling for the baptism, but I didn't know what to call it. I'd never heard of speaking in other tongues. I didn't know anybody that ever spoke in tongues. I'd never heard that phrase even before. But my spirit was calling for more fellowship with God and to communicate with God more fully in my prayer life. Now, you see, that's if we looked here at 1 Corinthians 14, 2, it says here, "For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but to God." Okay? Now, this is talking about your devotional life. You see, over in the public service, you're not talking to God. Who are you talking to in a public service? The people. If I would speak in tongues right now and interpret, I would give you the interpretation and I would be talking to you. The Bible says that's public ministry of tongues. Okay? The Bible says right here, so we see that there has to be another gifting of tongues some way. It says he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks unto God. But no one understands or catches the meaning because the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. That's what it says in the Amplified Bible. He utters mysteries to God. Or that word mysteries there is in the Greek means plans and purposes. He begins to speak. Sometimes I would bump up all the time on this after you know, before I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I prayed. I like to pray. But I would needed something in here. It was like I'd bump up on things and I needed to go further. And it was like, you know what I'm talking about? Even now, today, as a Christian, as a believer, I'll sense in my spirit where I'll be praying along about something, you know, just kind of taking my cues like we've talked about before. Or even where I have an unction of the Holy Ghost to pray concerning the situation. I'll bump up on places where I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. But you see, the Bible says that I have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. If we went over to Romans, the 8th chapter, I'll just read you that scripture right now. Oh, Romans, okay. Romans, the 8th chapter. It says, "So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid, and he bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, or how to offer it." You ever gotten in that place before? I wish Christians would recognize that in their life more. Then they would seek God more for the help of the Holy Ghost in their praying. But sometimes we think we just know everything about praying, so we just take off on our own, you know, and God may be wanting to pray different things about the situation altogether. Sometimes you just don't know. You just don't know, okay? And then we looked at, that's verse 2, and then we'll look at verse 14, it says, "For when if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Therefore, I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me. I will pray with my understanding, and I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me, and I will sing with my understanding." So we see two kinds of prayer. We see praying with your understanding, and we see praying in the spirit, or some people say in the spirit, or we say praying in other tongues. All right? After I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I remember the night that I got the baptism, I'd never heard of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, didn't even know what to call it, didn't even know what to tell people I got, you know? And the only thing you need to know, the only thing I knew to do was just to let it rip, you know, and say, well, this happened to me. And then, you know, and I didn't even know anyone to call. And Mac, you know, he was Baptist, and And I didn't think I should tell him for some reason. I ended up telling him, but I told somebody else first because I needed to become more knowledgeable. But when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the glory of God just filled my soul and I began to speak in other tongues. And I knew it was the Lord. I knew. I don't know how I knew it was, but I knew it was. And see, what I was doing, when I asked the Lord, when I asked Him to help me to pray and I started praying in tongues, notice I said that. That's what I said to Him. I said, Lord, I want to pray. I want to know how to talk to You. And I started praying in tongues. Isn't that interesting? That's when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've got just a few minutes more. I know that old line Pentecostals, in the early days, Pentecostals had much more of a reverence toward speaking in other tongues and toward the gifts that God would give. Much more so. I've seen people, it just kind of grieves my spirit. One of the things that I'm learning now since the 1st of January about the Holy Spirit is how very sensitive He is. He tells us. I said to the Lord the other day, I was just laughing. Sometimes I say funny things to Him. I said, Lord, you tell us not to be offended, but the Holy Ghost, He gets offended. I was just talking to the Lord like that. Sometimes I do that. But I could see that He gets grieved. He has so much love for people and so much love. He so wants to manifest Himself. He so wants to come in His power and in His glory. And people sometimes, they get used to things, like praying in tongues. It would be rude for me to go down here to Margie and stand right in front of her, and she would be talking to me. You would call me a discourteous, rude person. If I talk to Margie, and the whole time she's talking to me, trying to tell me something, and I'm talking to her, I'm looking around, not paying any attention, not giving her the time of day. Now, isn't that rude? Well, you see right here, the Bible says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. He speaks unto God. So when you pray in tongues, that's why a lot of people don't get very far praying in tongues. Why they just kind of go like this. Now, I'm not making fun of tongues, but this is one reason why people don't go further. There is a furtherance where tongues is concerned. In fact, you can release your faith where tongues is concerned, and you can get so perfected where that gift is concerned, you can easily interpret yourself. Bible says that's not flaky. The Bible says pray that you may interpret. But you can get very, very perfected where tongues is concerned. But you see, when it says here, for he who speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks unto God, you need to reverence God. When you start speaking in tongues, you need to reverence the things of God. Reverence Him. Not just sit there like it's a natural thing. The more you yield and receive gifting from God, endowments from Him, the more of that you will get, the more power there will be. You see, but we as Christians, sometimes we see these things and they're almost a natural manifestation in our life because we do it so much, especially people in the faith movement, because we've been taught about speaking in other tongues. But it just becomes natural. People that go like this, they go like this. Ba, 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 da, dre, di, do, di. The reason that people do that is because if they would do that before God, there would be more of an outpouring from the inside of them up. I know there was a man by the name of, I was going to tell you this story. His name was Grandpa Pickard. And Grandpa Pickard, he was an old liner, his wife was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Her name was Carrie Pickard. And she was baptized in the Holy Ghost up there at the revival at Topeka, Kansas, where that woman, that Chinese, wrote in Chinese. And so Carrie Pickard, her husband was a drunk. And I forgot his first name, but they called him Grandpa. And he was a drunk. And so she thought it would help him if she moved away from Topeka and she moved down to Coweta, Oklahoma. And she thought she could get him away from the bottle, and the friends that he hung out with and all that. Well, when they moved down to Coweta, There was a Pentecostal move there, and Carrie joined that move, but Grandpa Pickard still drank real bad. One afternoon when he went out on a Saturday afternoon, he'd go, you know, get drunk on Saturday night. And one Saturday afternoon, he passed the Pentecostal church, and they were moving some lumber, and they were building an altar in their church. And so he saw that they were working. He was a nice, you know, friendly man. And he said, do you want me to help you? So he had a flatbed, you know, behind him where his horse was. And he said, I'll help you pull the lumber. So he pulled the lumber up there. Well, you know, online Pentecostals, everything they did, when, as soon as they got finished with it, they dedicated it to the Lord. So as soon as they finished the altar, they dedicated it. And they said, well, why don't you stay for the dedication? Well, during the dedication, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them, and he got born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he got drunk on the new wine of the Spirit, drunk, speaking in other tongues. So you know, they knew because of who he was in town that his horse knew the way home. Because he would get drunk, you know, before on bad stuff, and the horse would always take him home, and he'd be laid over the saddle, you know, drunk. Well, this time he was drunk on the Holy Ghost. So when Carrie sees him coming down the road, you know, she looked out there and she said, oh, God, you know, he's drunk again. But this time he was drunk on the Holy Ghost. He wasn't drunk. He wasn't drunk on alcohol. Well, his niece, her name was Aunt Lethe. Aunt Lethe was 94 years old when I met her. She was in a nursing home, and I went to Coweta, Oklahoma, to visit her, to talk with her about the Pentecostal experience and about receiving the Holy Ghost. And she told me all kind of, Grandpa Pickard, you see, now he was her uncle. And she said when she was a little girl that they were very afraid of him. She said the reason was that when he prayed, she said, buildings shook. And she said that in the mornings, that they would walk to school past his house. And she said, I said, Aunt Letha, did he pray loud or soft? She said, you could hear him all over town praying. Said there was, his house was up on the street, you know, right at the edge of the street. But behind his house, there was a barn way back into the pasture. And he'd go down there in that pasture every morning and pray. And she said, they'd be walking to school, you know, their little lunch pails. And she said, they'd get to Grandpa Pickard's house. And when they got to his house, they would walk on this side of the street. But when they got to Grandpa Pickard's, they'd move over to the other side of the street because they were scared. Because they could hear him way down there in that barn praying. And Aunt Lethe said to me, she said, people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when they received it and they received tongues, they knew that they got tongues because of their prayer life. Because of what that was everything to them where prayer was concerned, was speaking in other tongues. And that's the way they were. But they said, he prayed so loud. And then she started telling me about when she got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She said she and her cousin, she said, when we went, she said, you lived all week for church. That's what she told me. Lived all week for church. She said all week long, all you thought about was church. And you were so excited about it because you couldn't wait to see what was going to happen next. And she said the night that she got the Holy Ghost, she took her cousin with her. And I guess her cousin wasn't saved. She said, there was these two little girls. I've forgotten how old she was. There was these two little girls sitting in the row. And she said, the power of God fell in the place. And when the power fell, it knocked them up across the room, she and her friend. Knocked them up under the chair. And she said, the girl that was with her started going, who save me? Oh, God, save me. Oh, God, save me. And she said, and then they both started praying in tongues. Isn't that something? She told me all kind of things like that. But in Grandpa Pickard's Bible, Billy Brim was kin to these people. In Grandpa Pickard's Bible, it said in there, Billy found a note. And at this time, Oral Roberts was just a little boy. He was probably 10 or 11 years old. And there was a note in the back of the Bible that had a date on it and said, we prayed for little Oral Roberts today. There was another person, I've forgotten his name, it kind of slipped me here. Maybe I'll think of it here in a minute. He was a young man that was in that group, and he was 19 years old. And the Lord told him that in the last days, a great work would be done out on Broken Arrow on this property, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And he said the Lord told him to go out there on that knoll and pray every single day and birth out that in the Spirit. And they say that that is the place where Rhema Bible Training Center is today. And he would go out there every day and pray. But they gave very high, just gave tongues great place and very high reverence in their lives. And so they had much more manifestation than we do. Paul said that over there he about speaking in other tongues. He said, pray that you may interpret. How many of you this morning in your prayer time prayed that you may interpret? That's good for you, brother. One person, two people, two, three people, four people. Out of this whole congregation, four people in here prayed that they would interpret. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that you're going to interpret if you don't ask for it? And that you're not going to, and you're not looking for it? But Paul said that about it. Said, pray that you might interpret. We'll go on with this next week. We might start right here where this is concerned. But you can see that speaking in other tongues is a supernatural gifting from God. Accompanies and is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. And I'll tell you, I've never seen many people that didn't speak in tongues that had much fire. I'll be honest with you. Now, I haven't seen very many of them. A few, but not very many. And so we need to give ourselves over to these things more freely. I know when our counselors take people out on Sunday or during times where we would pray for people for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, one of the things that we tell them to tell them is how important it is to pray in tongues, to worship God. Pray in tongues and worship God in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Not just with your understanding, but from your heart. And when you do, reverence God. Give Him reverence. Give Him glory. Give Him praise. I mean, from your heart. Don't just be looking around, you know. But talk to God in tongues. You can't imagine what it'll do for you. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's do something really interesting. Let's do this. Let's take our tongues and let's point them in a direction. All right? Let's take our tongues and pray in tongues about this city. Now, you could lift up to God with your understanding about this city, but we want to pray mysteries about this city to God. And so how are you going to do that? You're going to pray in tongues. So let's just do that. Now, point your tongues toward the city, okay? Point your inside your heart toward the city, and let's pray in tongues for the city, all right? And that risiko lobasta. Ad risi livi duborosta, Father. Yes, Father, we praise you for this city. We thank you for this city. Thank you for this city. Yuba halividodo, yanga masori avasha baleidara, yage ohotodranan, le mando bivese eda asokote. Yes, Lord. And none end go together elda osa, and nuguribeba basoro babaraba, ye karaha solobomba. Andamosa ganamopa. Eyu sanganamo. Kotiath Johnstone Jafasning Blam Vigamando Yasilava Hasta Ezavarohotabra Andomabramanama Azokolavasta Azolomandi Minamangosinamasta Estoran Toshilibigaba Haprovas is the nononon de Vigibeba testa. You taped to Bumfling England. Come on, monster. Come on, it won't hurt you. Come on here now. As a gobali tumbra de bon story and shala kamalama. Outreach is a so tidikidam. Some of y'all are too quiet. You need to lift your voice to God, the Bible says. As a monde mingim bambi garamambos. Yes, akalia sastogo rebapa. Yendori. Ha federabak and just in an ando nonamam pe papre vere to lobri did anglon gavrine means severatas do haso hasi astoba boster and amando ridigering kastein ji pafradeding long pafre did eco father ikindo belostas and you make a freestyle as up everine main to oh Jesus chitikira sate bamburidabas Estorish azuta henolemik ever salabe bitorish tasin stambisha alevero ho yaheba engombi mamangamba goromba ngingamondo hafor dinginin gan stengan hafori katobobo stasti stan oristida oristida orikidobustu aris zigindos ezugaleveratos yes Lord we pray for the light. The light, Lord, the light to the city. Ondi amase en vurikidista ezo magande randosti asate varobekes yeston yeston bahase ezo yes, Lord, send the angels, Father. Eturisi. Now, see, I'm getting the interpretation of my tongues, and I'm just praying that out about the city. Ondi zalava ekorisisisi. Justista, you sustain, Father. Yes, you sustain in the name of Jesus. And you apprehend that which needs to be apprehended in the name of Jesus. O karasahim amato, ebrubirionose, kestostentestondes, o zeberepa, o lanterek, gondereandorin damvrinemostos. Ayo aria coria socket mokol, and prophesizidi bistaste, as a lomba. Lord, you make a way, yes. Lord Jesus, you make a way, Father. In the name of Jesus, you kalihita and brofde stoshte asasake. Kolian janamande as a lomboga ekesikidinesto for revival, the fires of God to burn in the city. Orisitam, yes, loose them, loose them, loose them in the name of Jesus. Ashikidaman bidrobo stede stodotetis. Sangurenimin himbo soria tasso. Yes, agaria toria tasso borrava. Atuziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziziz
Dios. Zaiguria ayohola and Japasan o Zalibidis. Now, let's switch over. Let's switch over and start singing in tongues. Alo moria voria no.
Mire manduro uleruro mose bremas.
Ayu soya inearonan. Yo irama. Now you people that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can sing in tongues too. You don't just speak in tongues, but you can sing. See how beautiful? Sounds like angels, doesn't it? Ori salabare. See, you can worship God. The Bible says he who speaks in an unknown tongue worships well, thanks God well. And oria, oria, oria. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless his name. Oh, he is high and holy. Oh, yes, he alone. Tano yanendo. Praise our God. Praise him. Yando lebetiro bo. Glory. Glory. unto the Lord our God. He is high and holy. Yambo lo veo yo. Yando me yo yo lo. Yando ma yo sole. Oh, yo sole me. Oh, no mo yena me ano na na na. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Yando Mario Noria Nostra. Bosh she dust in it. Caloboria Nayo. Kesoro. Yando Mario Noria. Yando Raya. Yazuba.
For the continuation of this series, please move to the next CD.